I'm just going to read the last few verses here. Verse beginning in Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth. That's the title of our message. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now our Lord, we're told in Scripture, loves a cheerful giver. And prior to this passage, beginning in verse 19, prior to verse 19, he had been teaching us about almsgiving, which is providing for the poor. It's a privilege a believer has to have a heart to want to provide for the poor. But so often whenever we hear of giving, because of the sinfulness of our flesh, we have a tendency to act as if the things that we have are all our own, as if they're our things. And our Lord here is giving us a word of caution, a word of warning against covetousness and against worldliness. He said there in verse 21, he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then look there in verse 23. He said, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now it's pretty clear, brethren, that when we set our affection, when our hearts are set on things on this earth, proportionate to the joy that we get from whatever it is that we've calling our treasure on this earth, proportionate to the joy that we get from that, we have an equal amount of worry and fear that it's going to be gone. And by that, we'll be turned to looking at those things and to be more concerned about how to keep those things and hang on to those things, and it turns us from our Lord. And so our Lord reminds us here about the, sort of like what he did when he gave the parable of the sower of the seed. And he said that seed that fell among thorns, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choked that believer so that he couldn't, or that sinner, so that he didn't continue in the word. He fell away. He wasn't a true hearer. And so he warns us about that. But when we hear these words, immediately we begin to realize who of us is not covetous. Who of us is not full of this worldliness and full of this covetousness? And we begin to look into these things, and it's a rebuke to our own heart, to our own flesh, because that's what we are by nature. That's what we are in ourselves. But let me give you something that I think will help you. When you read in Scripture where it sounds like it's a condition for the believer, or it sounds as if it's a warning like this, or it is a warning like this, but it sounds like it's a condition. Read it and heed the warning. Heed the warning, but read it remembering the promises of our God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you notice he doesn't say, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You that's been born of God, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that for your sakes, he that was rich became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. You know that. You know that. So we know that by his obedience, by what he did, he fulfilled the law. This law is dealing with the law of covetousness. And we know by what he did when he came from to this place and became obedient, even unto death, He faithfully obeyed the law in every aspect, in thought, word, and deed. Look at Luke chapter 4. Look over, hold your place here, and look over at Luke chapter 4. You remember when he was tempted? Luke chapter 4. It says in verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Went 40 days, didn't eat anything. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. You know, it doesn't take but anybody to appeal to our pride, our sinful pride. If somebody said something like that to us, if we had the power to do it, we'd say, well, let us show you. I show you I can do it. This one was hungered, and yet there was no sin in him. And look what he said. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's what our Lord's teaching us back in our text. Look, verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. We just see a little something, and I wish I had that. This one saw all the kingdoms of all time in a moment of time. And look what he answered. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he wasn't just talking. This is who he is. This is the holy God, the God-man. This is him who never had a sinful thought, never had a sinful word, never had a thought, sinful deed. And here he is as the representative of his people, standing before this law of God, being tempted as he was, and he wasn't turned from faithfulness, from trusting God. And then he went to the cross. And this one who knew no sin, God made him sin for us, for those that God put in him, and even made him the sin of all the covetous thoughts that you've ever thought and I've ever thought. Made him the sin of those, that sin of our covetousness, and gave it to him, put it on him, made him to be sin for us. And he bore that sin away. He put it away as he did all our sin. He not only was faithful to the precept of the law, but even unto death he was obedient. And he was made sin in the place of his people, and he stood as the one who had broken this law. And he put the sin away by himself. And when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then if we read Romans 3 in context, and we read it correctly, and we come to verse 31, and it says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish it. If we read it in context, what it means is, if by God-given faith, trusting Christ, we've obeyed God in thought, word, and deed, because we've obeyed Him in Christ, who obeyed Him on our behalf. So that's our strength, brethren, and He's been made our treasure. Christ has made Himself our treasure, and now we have an incorruptible inheritance, one that can't be corrupted. We have a pure inheritance that was obtained by the pure faithfulness of our pure Redeemer, who's holy within and without. We have an inheritance that won't fade away. It won't go away, because it's as eternal as our God, this inheritance is. And it's reserved in heaven for you, Scripture said. So He makes Himself our treasure. And where He is, that's where our heart is. And then he says here in verse 22, Matthew 6:22, he said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, if you're a natural man and you read this, you think, well, then I need to be turning myself, and it's up to me now to make sure that I see this light and that my body's full of light. But the believer hears this word, and the believer knows, I was blind. I couldn't see. I had no light in me. All I was darkness inside and out, through and through. How is it then that I have an eye to see? You remember, I think it's in Luke, where when they came to the Lord, there was a multitude came to him, and he said, this is an evil and adulterous generation because they seek after a sign. And he said, no sign's going to be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And he was telling them what he was saying to them, just face to face with his own mouth. He was saying, the light and the sign is standing right here in front of you. He said, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. He lights it, puts it out in the room so everybody that comes in can see it. He's saying, my heavenly Father has given the light. As long as I'm in the earth, I'm the light of the world. And he says, here I stand like a candle out in broad daylight shining. And he's saying, the problem is, you don't have any eyes. You're blind. My wife and I and the kids went down to a cave over in Pennsylvania here recently. And we were in the cave, and you know how they do when you go through a tour of the cave, and they turn the lights out? When they turn the lights out, you can't see anything. Your eye, I mean, it's black. You can't see. That's blackness in there. No light at all. You can't see a thing. What makes the difference between the seeing eye and total blindness, total darkness, is light. When the light comes on, you can see now. You can see. And he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. Because he gave it. He gave them. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He shall have it. And so we see that when he turns on the light, when he makes us to see him, when he gives a sinner the eyes to see him, then through the eye of faith, light fills the whole body. And he says here, and if your eye is single, if it's been interwoven with Christ the light, if he's the light of your eye, your whole body shall be full of light. There's no possibility it won't be. It shall be. It shall be. Now he speaks here of the heart and the eye and the body. That's the man. The heart, the eye, and the body. That's who we are. And if he's the treasure of our heart, and he's given us a new heart, and he's the treasure of that heart, and he's given us eyes, and he's the light of those eyes, and he's filled our body with his light, there's a new man. There's a new creation. And Christ is the master of that new creation. And so when he says here in verse 24 of our text, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is fact. You're either under the dominion of sin and serving Satan and hell and the devil, or you're under the dominion of Christ and you're serving him. Now when you read this, remember the promise. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under grace, but you're under the law. But not under the law, but under grace. You were the servants of sin, but God be thanked. You've obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, and now you've been made free from sin and become the servants of righteousness. Now that's the strength of the believer's inner man. That's the strength of our heart. That's how we can read this text. And even though we see how covetous we are in ourselves, even though we see how sinful we are in ourselves before God, Darvin, you have never, ever had a covetous thought in your life. Never, ever had a covetous thought in your life. So you can read this now and with the strength of heart hear what he says. And because he says this to us. Now listen, watch this. I love this. Verse 25. Now here's where I'm getting to my text now. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, therefore, because Christ has made himself the treasure of your heart, therefore, because Christ is the light of your eye, therefore, because Christ is your master, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. The believer has no need to worry about our needs. We have no need to worry, to be anxious over our needs. Did anxious thought put you in Christ before the world began? God your Father did that. Did anxious thought purge all your sin and put away all your sin and redeem you at Calvary's cross? Christ your Lord did that. Did anxious thought make you come to Christ and trust Him? God says He wasn't in any of your thoughts or my thoughts. He came, the Spirit blew where it would, and He created life in you, and now you believe Him. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Our life used to be about nothing more than our belly. It used to be about nothing more but about our flesh, what we ate, what we put on, that's all we thought about. But now, like Paul, we can say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things. And he said, but in case you think I've really lost anything, he said, everything that I've lost, it's all dung anyway. I didn't lose anything. You who've tasted the bread from heaven, tasted the water of life, who've been robed in these garments of righteousness, you can answer this. Yes, the life is much more than food and raiment. Much more. Concerning temporal food, he says here, verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You fathers and mothers, you've got your pets. I've seen Teddy and Baja and Sugar and Penny, and they're all, you feed them. You take care of them, don't you? You ever thought about going out and feeding those pets and not putting food on the table of your own sons and daughters? Wouldn't ever think of that, would you? Who feeds the fowls of the air? Who feeds the wild, the deers and the turkeys and the ducks and everything that's in the wild? Who feeds it? Who feeds them? Scripture says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. It says the Lord opens his hand, and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Now our Lord says, do you think your heavenly Father is going to feed his pets and not feed one of his sons or one of his daughters? Are you not much better than they? And not only do we not need to worry about our needs, he says it won't do you any good to worry about it. It won't profit you anything to worry about it. Look at verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? He just said earlier on in this sermon, you can't make one hair white or one hair black. He just said, this protection of your earthly treasure, you can try to protect it all you want to. And a little moth will come in and just eat it up. Rust will just eat it up. Thieves will break through and steal it. You can't prevent that. Worry won't stop that. Worry is not going to put food on the table. It's not. And it is, even if you go out and you say, well, I work. You should. We should. He's not saying don't provide. He's just saying don't get all anxious and worked up over it to where you think that's all life's about. That's not what life's about. But when you put food on your table, even when you eat it, you know you can't make it nourish your body. You know who makes that food nourish your body? God does. He makes that food nourish your body. You can worry all you want to that if somebody's got a disease and they're shriveling away, you can worry all you want to that food's going to help them, but only God's going to make that food nourish their body. So worry and anxiousness and all that, it won't add 1 minute to your life. Not 1 minute. The hour set, the time set by God. An anxious thought, where it won't add 1 minute to it. My times are in thy hand. That's what the believer says. Now concerning clothing. Verse 28, he says, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know who clothed Solomon with all those garments? God gave them to him. He gave Solomon those garments. But those garments were actually, they were made from materials that God made. But when people's hands touched those garments and wove those fibers together and made those garments for Solomon, those were corrupt garments. They were polluted because man's hand touched them. But you consider those lilies of the field. He makes them. That's a direct creation of God, of his hand directly. And he clothes them. He arrays them, he says, much more than what Solomon was arrayed in. They didn't work for it. They didn't do anything for it. He arrayed them. Who made you a new creature in Christ? Who made you a new creation in Christ? He did. He did. Like the king's daughter, the believer is all glorious within. We're made of wrought gold, gold that was refined in the furnace of affliction, heated 7 times to perfection by Christ at Calvary's cross. That's our garment, the garment of righteousness. He's clothed me with garments of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks with his ornaments and a bride with her jewels. And so like those lilies of the field, they're in the wilderness out there. They're just out there wild. Not domesticated, wild, but God arrayed you in garments better than anything. Better than anything. In the righteousness of Christ. So you don't have to worry your pretty little head about it that he's not going to cover you in whatever clothes you need. Look at verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Did you see the world? Look at the world. That's all the world's running after. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Never satisfied. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. I love that, how he keeps repeating that. Your heavenly Father knoweth. Your heavenly Father knoweth you. You don't have to take anxious thought. He knows. He knows you. He knows when you need to be fed. You don't have to take anxious thought. He knows when you need to be clothed. He knows your need of these things. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things. But he says here, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God, Acts 28:31 says, the kingdom of God are those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Have you found the treasure of the hidden field? Sell everything you got. Go buy that field. You found the pearl of great price. Trade everything you got for that pearl of great price. And provide for each other. That's what he's talking about. That's what led to this conversation, was when he talked about almsgiving. He went from that into this. Our Lord loves to see his children providing for the poor, because it's our rejoicing in what he did for us. It's saying, this is exactly what my Savior did for me. For somebody who couldn't help themselves, for somebody who was bankrupt, poor, couldn't do one thing, couldn't give him back anything in return whatsoever. And this is what he did for me. And if we have those thoughts, we have those, that old man starts, you know how it is. When you start hearing about providing for somebody, giving for somebody, and you start, well, I need so-and-so, I need this. What did Paul tell the Corinthians? Having these promises, brethren. Having these promises. That's what it's based on. These promises we have. This heavenly treasure we have. Having these promises. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us wash our hands of it. Let us separate ourselves from that old deceitful, vain thought that our God won't provide for us. And let's fear the Lord. Let's believe that He'll give us these lesser things. I probably won't get this right, but Spurgeon, I read something he said that I thought was good. He said, sometimes you need string and brown paper. And he said, you don't go to the store to buy string and brown paper, you know. He said, you can find some of that around the house or what have you. And he said, but sometimes there's something that you need and you go to the store to get it and it's a valuable item, it's a precious item, and when you get it, the string and the brown paper just come with it. Well, all these other things is the string and the brown paper. We got the valuable commodity. We got Christ our Lord. We got the righteousness of heaven and earth. I believe the Lord gave His Son, His only Son. He'll give me these other things. Give me these other things. So he says here, winds it up, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me just give you a everyday speech for that. Give your entire attention to setting your affection on things above right now. Right now. And don't get worked up about what may be or may not be tomorrow. God will provide for you tomorrow in the face of evil, just like He's doing today. Just like He's doing right now. And let this be your song. I love this. Listen. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. Everything that's a mystery to you now shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The wind and waves still know. They still know. His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. That's our hope. That separates us from this unbelief to trust Him. We trust Him. Trust Him. All right.